listening to Audio Culture on 95 BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Indeed, you are listening to Audio Culture. Very exciting. For today's Audio Culture, I'm really, really excited about this. We're joined by Chris Matthews, who's written Audio Culture's first Songwriter's Choice of 2026. Chris Matthews, for those who don't know the legend of Chris Matthews, has been involved in so many musical projects. I've got Chris on the line here, notably the post-punk outfit Children's Hour, and of course the seminal New Zealand band Headless Chickens. And there's an epic photo of you on this article of Songwriter's Choice. It's got you at the top there performing at the Big Day Out in 1995. With this cool vest and these awesome glasses. Do you still have those by any chance? And how can I get them?
The what? The glasses?
Yeah, there's like these cool shades. You've got these shades on that are just epic.
Sorry, I'm getting an echo back from the iPad for some reason. It's weird. I think they were actually... I think they were actually designer spectacles because they were the only ones at the time that came with those magnetic sunglass frames.
We so love that.
I think they were like fucking Gucci or something stupid, you know, but I never wore shit like that, but I actually quite like them.
They're pretty epic. Yeah. Should we launch into your first song choice here? You've chosen two songs for us from your extensive list, and I encourage everyone to go and read the list because there's some absolute hits on here, but also the perspective that you write from as someone who's been involved in the music scene for so long is just, I mean, all these beautiful anecdotes. But this first track here is Agitated by The Skeptics. Should we give it a listen?
Yeah.
Epic.
Thank you.
Well, I see what you mean by epic. I think agitator is a very, very fitting title. That's quite something, isn't it? I love that. That's awesome.
I was, when Simon Ogston made the documentary about the skeptics a few years back, I was really rooting for him to call it agitator, because to me that was what they, you know, that was the one word that could sum that band up, was that, because it kind of, they really rocks people up. They either loved them or people absolutely hated them, but you know, there was no middle ground.
Yeah. June, July, August,
yeah. The winter months.
You tell
and it all makes sense if you think about it.
It so makes sense. You tell this great anecdote in the piece about Chris Knox not particularly liking their early records, but then when Skeptics 3 was released, he came through to the show and he said something to you. What did he say when Agitator started playing?
Well, it was actually when it goes into that last section, which is just like massive kind of stadium stuff with like fucking horrible guitars in it. And he just turned around to me with this huge grin on his face and he was like, yes, it's like prog rock, but it's really good.
That's so good.
And I said, yes, it is. But funnily enough, I was just actually thinking about it after that, because after I wrote that, because I was in a band from high school called the Prime Movers, and we entered a Battle of the Bands competition in Auckland, which was kind of like I think it was a national thing, like anyone could, you know, if you won the locals, it was kind of like the Smoke-Free Rock Quest. But the Skeptics actually were in the same Battle of the Bands. They come up from Palmerston North. And Chris Knox was one of the judges. That was the first time I met him. He walked up to us when we were setting up and just sort of said hi. And I'd seen Toy Love play their last gig just about 6 months before. So I was kind of like totally fanboy, awestruck. But the Skeptics were the runners up. They didn't win, but they came second. And I thought, shit, maybe Chris actually did like them at the time.
I love that so much. I love it so much.
It was quite funny because, it's just like the kind of the every time I sort of think of an origin story for like when I saw somebody or when I heard them for the first time, and every single one of them has kind of like ended up being, you know, our lives have kind of coalesced at some point. Like I've just, you know, gone on to be friends with them or play on the same stage with them or all that kind of stuff. And it's just, I guess, all, you know, New Zealand's probably a fairly small place, but it seems more than coincidence, because you know, I saw the Skeptics for the first time at the end of 81. And then I saw them again in 1982 in Auckland. And then I heard about this friend of a friend who was selling a guitar, and I wanted to buy a guitar because I was leaving the Prime Movers. And I went around to see this woman, and she and her friend and her other flatmate had just moved from Palmerston North to Auckland. And they were friends with the Skeptics, and her friend, this woman Sandy, her friend Mandy, was going out with David Darth. So like I was going round to the flat and David was turning up, and then so we would all go out, and you know, he didn't really know who I was, and I'd seen him a couple of times, but
it's a small old world,
like that, you know?
Yeah, small old world. If you're just tuning in,
it is incredibly small. And I mean, at that point, you know, we didn't really even know what was going on. But then by 83, I was playing gigs with the Skeptics with my band Children's Hour. So it kind of just had this flow-on effect right from the beginning, you know.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking to Chris Matthews of Headless Chicken's fame about his songwriter's choice on Audio Culture, which you can go and check out. There's a whole heap of amazing picks and just amazing thoughts and focado behind each pick, which is really beautiful, and a plethora of picks too. We're going to speak about your second and final pick here, which is, I mean, like you say in the piece, this band needs no introduction, but it's The Split Enz. The song is Maybe. Yeah. Why did you choose this song?
I think because, again, with that sort of origin story thing, like I think I first heard one of their songs probably when I was about 12, probably in a, it might have even been Maybe, I think at the local shopping mall in Lynn Mall, New Lynn, where I lived. And then I saw them miming to Maybe on Telethon in 1977, back in the days. Go and ask your parents or your grandparents what a telethon is. But and they were on Telethon miming to Maybe, which had come out a couple of years before on the Mental Notes album, your first album. But it didn't seem to really take off as a single, even though the album did pretty well. But I just saw this bunch of, you know, complete lunatics playing this absolute perfect pop song. Like, it's 2.5 minutes long, and like, it's got everything in it. That's all it needs. It's like the best kind of late 60s band, you know, of great stature had recorded the song back in the day, and nobody had ever heard it before. But it's, to me, it's kind of like probably the most perfect song by a local band in terms of, you know, pop sensibilities and all that. But I just love the way it breaks down into complete dementia at the end, and you realize that Phil and Tim Finn are both they're begging for someone to come along and help them, please, baby, you know. Somebody will come along and save me from myself. And it just, like, I just love the way it kind of crashes and burns at the end. And then they all kind of like start doing crazy screaming and shit.
Yeah, I love it so much. Just give it a listen. Thank you so much, Chris Matthews, for joining us for Audio Culture. Go and check out Songwriter's Choice. It's up on Audio Culture right now. And this is Split Enz, Maybe. Ooh.
Still look down on me.
was
Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.
Okay, don't freak out.
Oh, okay, actually do.